Welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this sunshiny day to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This time you can take your pads, red pads, pass them down with your name, address, that type of information so we have a record of your attendance. I'm going to just kind of point out a few of these announcements. I'm not going to make all of them. The Christian Education, this is on the back page, will sponsor the Easter brunch and egg hunt on Easter Sunday starting at 9:30. There'll be sweet rolls, bagels, coffee, and juice. So it'll be something for everyone. I remind you that the spring congregational meeting will be Sunday, April the 12th. You need to get your financial reports in if you've not already done so to Carol Kane or Lynn Love. The sign-up sheet in the back for Easter flowers, and Deacon's looking for artificial flowers. And the garden valley, there are many spots available. Please sign up now if interested. After April the 12th, the garden will be opened up to the community. And this one we started a couple of years ago, and we asked people to donate a 10% at least of their food, and it is taken to the local food bank. So it's a wonderful thing to do. And Women's Association is looking for volunteers in the kitchen and Thursday, and even to come down Wednesday. And I'll let you read about the clean sweep on the deacons. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Something a little different this morning. We have a screen song to begin the service. Purify my heart. It's the Refiner's Fire. Sorry about the words. I should have had that in white. And it's the first time we sang it, so I apologize. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession you find printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your love. We are thankful that you forgive our sins. We are amazed that you do not remember our sins. Forgive us for not living our lives full of grace. Remind us to confess our sins so we can have a real closeness with you. Help us to give ourselves to others a second chance. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us once again this morning join together with one another and with other Christians in our community and around the world as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty.
From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. Let's take a moment and greet one another. You don't know someone's name, ask till you get it.
I am blue and red.
Okay. Oops, careful.
Nosedive.
We don't need that. You go ahead. It is a mirror. I gave you a mirror this morning. I want you to look at yourself in that mirror.
Okay.
Just look at yourself, Annie Sean. Can you look at yourself? Well, why don't you get a different one then? You want to get a different one? When you look at that person in the mirror, do you like that person? Do you like that person? I don't mean
eyeball.
And I don't mean, do you think your ears stick out funny or you're having a bad hair day? But do you like the person? Okay, did you ever have a day when you didn't like the person? Oliver, could I have a turn to talk, please? Would you give Oliver a different one, since his is broken?
I like it because I can
you give him the bucket? Oliver, it's my turn to talk, okay?
Okay.
Thank you. Did you ever have a day when you looked at that person in the mirror and you didn't like the person that you saw? Maybe at school that day you pushed somebody on the playground, or you cut in the lunch line, or you said something mean to your best friend, or you fibbed to mom and dad. Did you ever have a day like that? And when you were brushing your teeth that night, you didn't really like the person looking back at you. Did you ever have a day like that?
No.
Well, I'm glad to know anybody willing to share a time that they didn't like who they were looking at?
I told my classmates we were going to the same place.
And you want to share, Emma, anything? Or you don't want to? That's okay. Well, we've all had days when we didn't, even us grown-ups, when we didn't like the person we were looking at in the mirror. But we can be forgiven for those things, and we can go on and be better people. There's a sentence in the Bible that tells us how we should treat people. We call it a rule. Does anybody know what that rule is?
Not being bad.
We call it the golden rule. It's not listed like that in the Bible. It's just a sentence in the Bible. But we've come to call it the golden rule. And the golden rule says, Oliver, remember it's my turn. The golden rule says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. In other words, treat people the way you want to be treated. And if you always do that, you'll always treat people with respect and kindness. And that's the way we want to be treated, isn't it? We'd like to have everybody treat us nicely, and we should treat everyone else nicely. I want you to keep your I want you to keep your mirrors and maybe even hang it on your backpack. And once in a while look into it and say, do I like the person that I am today? Am I being a good person? Can we bow our heads for a prayer, please? Dear Lord, we thank you for these beautiful children, and we ask you to help them follow your golden rule. Help us as the grown-ups who love and care for them to be good examples. Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be with our church family, and we express our gratitude for our many blessings. Amen.
Our responsive reading, Forgiveness, 632 in the back of your red hymnals. Forgiveness, 632. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool.
No one shall ever again teach his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more.
Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage?
He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in mercy.
If you forgive people their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you.
But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?
Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven.
Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you.
If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
My little children, these things I write to you, that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous.
And he himself is a perfect.
At this time, for our pastoral prayer, I invite the elder on the door.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Suzanne Connor has a prayer request for a friend of hers named Reg. Reg is in the hospital, just coming out of a coma, and unfortunately that he is not aware of the fact that while he has been ill, a brother that he has cared for has passed away. And also it has been determined that his house will need to be torn down. So we pray for Regis' physical and spiritual recovery. Suzanne also has a praise request. She was reunited with her granddaughter after 4 years. Her granddaughter's name is Paige. And also there was a bonus in that reunion, and she got a 2-year-old baby named Brandon. So good news for Suzanne, who's reunited with her granddaughter. Dave Slover is asking for prayer for Lynn Garvey, our church secretary, who is suffering from ongoing back issues, and we hope that they can be fixed and she can have some relief from her pain. Nancy Baldwin is asking for prayers for the Robinson family. They are cousins of Nancy's, and the oldest brother, Kenneth Robertson Jr., passed away yesterday, so we ask for prayer for them and comfort. Nancy also asks for prayer for Donna Huber and her family. They are going through a very difficult time emotionally and financially, and they need all the support they can get. So we pray for their comfort. And Cheryl D'Amico is asking for prayer, continued prayer for her brother. He had some bad blood work, and after 3 weeks of waiting for an appointment, we'll be seeing the oncologist Wednesday of this week. And we pray that he does get a good report and that his high white blood cell count is really nothing serious and nothing to be alarmed about. And I have a praise request generically just for the strength of the prayer of this small, tiny church community, and I think that it's wonderful the work that the prayers of Glenshaw Valley continue to do.
Thank you. Real quickly, I just want to add the missional process that we're going to enter into for 8 months. I have a family member who needs prayer. And let's remember the Letterly and Merrill family who recently lost loved ones. We'll go to prayer and then I'll lead you into the Lord's Prayer. Let us bow. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. help us to rejoice in it. The Bible teaches us that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Good things happen to bad people, and sometimes it's just reversed. And that is a part of life. Help us to stand strong in our faith, regardless of the circumstances, when we may feel that you've walked away from us. But remind us that you have not. It's us pulling away from you. Lord, thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for being able to go from the old covenant into the new covenant and everything that comes with that. Being able to go directly to you in prayer. And so we do that today, lifting up all these prayer requests and needs and sometimes wants to you. And we come into agreement with one another that these will be answered according to your glory and your might, your power, your love, your mercy, and your grace. Lord, we thank you for Jesus, and we thank you also for his disciples and for the prayer that they received. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation, 436, Whiter Than Snow. I think a song we hadn't sang in a long time. We've never sang it. I thought it had been a long time. Never is very long. So, a couple of new things today. 436. nice song. We thank you for pouring out your Holy Spirit upon us with your gifts to be used for your church, whatever they might be. My gifts can be giving of our monies, our time, our musical talents, weeding the garden, cooking food, sending a card out, calling someone who hasn't been in church. Whatever it might be, there's so many things that we can do for your glory and your kingdom. And as Pastor Glenshaw Valley, I thank you for the faithfulness of these people and ask that you bless them this day. Thank you in the name of Jesus, who is our Lord, our Savior, and even our friend. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's scripture is Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is a covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more.
Thank you, Nancy. And you can sign up to be a scripture reader. We'd love to have you. I appreciate all the persons that have done it. And remind you, Lay Sunday is coming up the Sunday after Easter, so you can talk orally. Is there a sign-up sheet in the back? We can talk orally, or Cliff or someone.
Or Patty Hall.
Talk to somebody. Paul is going to preach that Sunday, so it'll be very exciting. Preaching from the Old Testament today. I normally preach from the New Testament, and Jeremiah is one of the prophets. And more than any other prophet, Jeremiah suffered as a result of his preaching. People rarely listened to his pronouncements. They didn't like what he had to say. And no wonder, it seemed even to Jeremiah that all he ever talked about was bad news. At one point, Jeremiah cried out, "Whenever I speak, I cry out proclaiming violence and destruction." Who wants to hear that? Jeremiah came from a family of priests, and God called him to become a prophet at a very early age, and he served as a prophet for 40 years. He spoke God's word during the reigns of kings and witnessed the nation's destruction by the Babylonians. He is called the weeping prophet, because he also wrote the book of Lamentations after Jerusalem was destroyed, including the temple was torn down and his people carried off into captivity. Jeremiah was also called the suffering prophet, who was persecuted by kings and rejected by his own people because of his forceful condemnation of idolatry that was going on in Israel at the time and social injustice against the people. Jeremiah was killed in Egypt by his own countrymen who had fled there. God had called Jeremiah to tell it like it is to the people who had disregarded God's laws. They rejected his teachings, and the people suffered because of it. And Jeremiah suffered as well because of his rejection by the people. So it's quite refreshing to come to today's reading from Jeremiah. No fireworks No scolding, no fussing, no condemnation of the people of Israel. Jeremiah changes his tone completely. This passage was written during Israel's exile. It was a dark time in Israel's history. It's often been said that the task of a prophet is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. Jeremiah had done his job superbly of afflicting Israel when it was so in comfort with sin. Now's the time for him to be a comforter during their time of exile. In fact, the section of Jeremiah is often called the Book of Consolation. The words are so beautiful and so profound that they are welcome to our ears as they were to Jeremiah's audience at that time. The scripture that was read says, "This is a covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more." I love that passage of Scripture. God is making a new covenant with Israel. Pastor Jeff Strike compares Israel's situation to a situation in our own land not too long ago. You remember the mortgage rates went up to 9 and 10%. And when they began to drop, what did people do? They refinanced at a lower rate so they could save money. They signed new contracts with the bank. Jeremiah is saying that God is unilaterally making a new contract or a new covenant with the people of Israel. God is giving the people of Israel a chance to begin anew, afresh. That's the wonderful thing about God, isn't it? God is a God of second and third and fourth and fifth and sixth and seventh and even all the chances really that we need. One night in a church service, a young woman felt the tug of the Holy Spirit. She responded to God's call and accepted Jesus as her Lord and Savior. A wonderful thing to do. The young woman had a rough past involving drugs and alcohol and even prostitution. But the change in her was very, very evident. As time went on, she became a faithful member of the church, and she eventually became involved in the ministry of teaching the young children. It was not long, though, when a thoroughly converted young man, or a young woman, caught the eye of the pastor's son. The relationship grew, and they began to make wedding plans, and this is when the problem began. About one half of the church did not think a woman with this type of past should be allowed to marry the pastor's son. The other half said, yes, she can. Yes, they can. So the church people decided to have a meeting amongst themselves. As the people made their arguments and tensions increased, the meeting got completely out of hand. The young woman became very upset about all the things being brought up about her, people in the congregation standing up, saying all these nasty things about her. As she began to cry, the pastor's son stood up to speak, and he could not bear the pain that this was causing his fiance, his wife-to-be that he loved so much. And his statement to the congregation was this: "My fiance's past is not what is on trial here. What you are questioning is the ability of our Lord Jesus Christ to wash away our sin and to make us new persons." And then he asked the congregation, "So does he wash away sin or not?" Powerful question. Does Christ wash away sin or not? If he does not, every single one of us in this church today are in deep trouble. Every one of us. Reverend Dennis Becker used the analogy of a trick bar of soap. The trick bar looks like a real bar of soap, but when you wash it, you get dirty instead of clean. The more you wash, the dirtier you get. Now, he recalls watching an episode of the old television program Candid Camera. When I found this example, I remember seeing this show because I loved Candid Camera with Alan Funt. Well, Funt planted a fake bar of soap in a public washroom and recorded the reactions of the people who washed their hands with it. You know, the more they wash, they're getting dirty and dirty, and they're looking around. They don't understand why they're getting dirty. What's wrong? It was comical. And it might be comical if soap did not get our hands clean. But it would not be comical, it would be tragic, if Jesus Christ did not wash our sins away and make us whiter than snow. In Jeremiah, God says to us, I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. And when I say I love that passage of Scripture, I love it. Remember my sins no more. God is the God of second chances. God has a contentious relationship with Israel and indeed with all of humanity. But Israel was God's chosen people. They were to be a light unto the world and get his message out. And in this passage from Jeremiah, God calls himself a husband to Israel, but Israel is continually going astray and having to be called back into relationship. God keeps tugging Israel back, back. God loves Israel so much that he just cannot leave her in sin. A few years ago, and I read a lot of his novels, John Grisham wrote a book entitled The Testament. The key figure in the novel is a disgraced corporate attorney named Nate O'Reilly. Nate is plagued by alcoholism and drug abuse. After two marriages, four detox programs, and a serious bout with dengue fever, and yes, that's a real thing, Nate acknowledged he needed God. Listen to how John Grisham describes this transformation. With both hands, he clenched the back of the pews in front of him. He repeated the list of his sins, mumbling softly every weakness and flaw and affliction and evil that plagued him. He confessed them all. In one long, glorious acknowledgement of failure, he laid himself bare before God. He held nothing back. He unloaded enough burdens to crush any three men. And when he finally finished, Nate had tears in his eyes. I'm sorry, he whispered to God. Please help me. As quickly as the fever had left his body, he felt the baggage leave his soul. With one gentle brush of the hand, his slate had been wiped clean. He breathed a massive sigh of relief, but his pulse was still racing. Now, this is a fictional account of a real experience that countless people around the world have had throughout history when Christ came into the world and came into their hearts and they understood that their sins were forgiven. They have found themselves and they have been made clean. And they have been able to make a new beginning. Here's the really good news of the day. We all have a chance to start over. Not just the first time we accept Christ, but as Christians, when we go on this journey, and it's a hard, difficult journey at times, and we make mistakes, and we outright sin at times. But as we read in our response of reading, the scriptures say, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now this is written to the Christian. None of us can be perfect. The past is blotted out. A new covenant with God is possible for each and every one of us. Jesus Christ has made a new covenant with us. I said a moment ago that a new covenant with God is possible for us. It's not really a new covenant. It's a covenant that God had planned from the beginning of time. You remember that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the cup and said, this is the blood of the new covenant which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sin. The covenant has already been made, but many of us have not accepted the covenant in our life. And I don't just mean here, but in our community that need to. God said through Jeremiah, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. That happens as soon as we welcome Christ into our lives. It is why we speak of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the part of the Godhead that bears witness to God's Word. It is the Spirit that puts God's law in our minds and writes it on our hearts, and we don't need the stone tablets anymore. And it happens to us the moment we confess our sins, repent of those sins, and invite Christ to make a new home within our hearts. Bishop William Willimon visited his mother in California and attended church with her, her home church. And that Sunday, the pastor was away, so they invited Chuck Colson to come speak. I think most of us have heard of him. He was one of the most trusted presidential advisors, an ex-Marine officer who convicted of several counts of felony, stripped of his license to practice law, and served time in a federal prison. Willimon's mother leaned over to her son and whispered rather loudly, "You know, I haven't come here to church to listen to some jailbird preach." Willimon responded, "But Mom, he has a conversion experience. He has given his life to Christ." "That's what they all do when they come before the parole board," she said. Colson began his sermon by telling the congregation how different it was for him to be preaching in this large, beautiful, wealthy congregation being televised to millions of people. The congregation he typically preached to consisted, he said, of murderers and rapists and thieves. Then he shocked them by asking, "Do you know which group Jesus was more comfortable with?" He went on to attack the congregation for their materialism, their greed, and the insensitivity to the poor. Willimon's mother turned to her son at the conclusion of the sermon and said, "I hope that he's having a good time preaching today, because he's not ever getting invited back here." Now, I don't know if Colson was ever invited back to that church or not, but I do know that Chuck Colson is one of those people that is living proof that lives can be changed through a relationship with the Lord Jesus. God says through Jeremiah, "I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more." Man, that's good news to me. God is the God of second chances and third and on down the line. And maybe today you need the opportunity to make a new start today. You can. Maybe you've already accepted Christ. You have a relationship with Christ, but you're not walking the path that you should. You have that opportunity to confess your sins. Begin anew again. Maybe you need a second chance. Personally, I think we all do. May God bless you. Amen. A hymn of response is I Will Sing of the Mercies. It's going to be on the screen. It's also in your hymnal on page 457. Thank you.
leave the sanctuary this day. I hope that you'll go back out into the world in a very relationship way. Let people know that they can find Jesus as their Lord, that they can have a second chance, regardless of what their sins might be. God can wipe any sin away and make that person as white as snow. Go with a positive attitude, knowing that God has given you a second chance. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.